Hi, so my name is Mary Charlton, and I'm actually the one that has the affiliation with the VA. So I'm also from the University of Iowa. But today I'm going to present some work that I've done with the VA Rural Health Resource Center based out of Iowa City. So the study is called, Does the Addition of Phone Calls to a FIT Mailing Program Lead to Higher Colorectal Cancer Screening Rates? And I have no financial relationships to disclose. So the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force has estimated that 50 to 60% of colorectal cancer deaths might be prevented if everybody 50 years or older were routinely screened. Accordingly, VA directives recommend that veterans are screened beginning at age 50 and at appropriate intervals thereafter until they have less than 5 years to survive, estimated. Or at which time they have such significant comorbidities that they would no longer benefit from screening. Within the VA, we have very similar options to the rest of the medical field, with colonoscopy every 10 years, Flexig or double contrast barium enema every 5 years, or an at-home fecal occult blood test annually, or some combination of those. The problem within the VA, though, is that it's a closed system. So if you are getting all your care at the VA, the only options that you have available to you for colorectal cancer screening, if you just want to go to a clinic near your rural town, are those at-home tests, because you have to go all the way to the VA Medical Center to get a colonoscopy, a flexible sigmoidoscopy, or a double contrast barium enema. And in Iowa, and I'll show you a map, Iowa City is the VA that I'm affiliated with, and some veterans have to drive over 3.5 hours to get there. So as you can imagine, although the people who work in the endoscopy suite ensure me that if you do the prep appropriately and correctly, that you should not have to make a lot of stops on your trip on the way to the medical center, but if you try and explain that to a veteran, that you can still drive 3.5 hours after you drink that stuff and you don't have to stop at every gas station, whether it's real or not, the perception is there, and it's a real barrier for people in getting a colonoscopy. Also within the VA, they've made some rule changes. They used to be able to just ride one of the transportation vans to the VA to get your colonoscopy. Now they say you have to have a responsible adult with you also. And so people get confused and they take the van up and they say, who's your responsible adult? And the veteran said, well, it's the van driver. And they say the van driver doesn't count, and they send them back home. So there's just kind of a lot of issues with that. So fecal immunochemical tests were only recently approved by the VA, so they've been around for a while. They've been adopted by the VA. They count towards their performance measures. Their benefits over the old GWIAC FOBT is that they only require one sample. There's no diet or medication restrictions beforehand because they're looking for human blood. And studies have found that compared to the older GWIAC FOBT, FIT has better sensitivity specificity balance. People find it easier to perform. There's no spatula involved. It's a smaller, as the picture shows, it's just a little probe, and it's easier to administer. And compliance with FIT is greater for a lot of reasons, mostly being that it's only one sample instead of the three consecutive samples. And people who are being sent home with the GWIAC FOBT who are on aspirin, NSAIDs, any kind of antiplatelet things, the meat, and all those restrictions meant they couldn't just take it that day. They had to wait 7 days until they had been off their warfarin or aspirin, or they had to wait 3 days since they last ate red meat. So that all really negatively impacted compliance. And so those tests were rarely used, at least at the Iowa City VA. So just as a background, because we used similar inclusion-exclusion criteria, in phase one, so I had read about Kaiser, how Kaiser increased their screening rates substantially by this FIT mailing program that they tried within their system. I thought, well, the VA is an integrated health system. Why can't we try that here? So on a small scale, we just designed this program that was just a single mailing, because we thought, even though the VA is this large national integrated healthcare system, people do things regionally and locally. So it's not like you can just implement a program easily that would that could be adopted across all VAs. So we thought, well, especially if you want to get to rural veterans and have practices take this on and have this be operationally sustainable and feasible, let's see how many people will return one after just one mailing, no phone calls, and let's try that. So we did a trial where 500 people were randomized to getting a FIT plus education materials in the mail. Another 500 got just education materials. And then there's a usual care group who got nothing. And in the VA, usual care are getting chart reminders. The electronic medical record system has a clinical reminder or clinical warning system. So there is some, it's a little bit more of intensive usual care group than probably in the private sector. And then based on the results from that, we decided to see if adding this introductory phone call and doing reminders would improve colorectal cancer screening beyond that male-only intervention. So here's the map of Iowa, and we focused on the eastern half there. Our inclusion criteria were VA enrollees residing in this catchment area, which is basically in this red rectangle. We selected veterans ages 50 to 64 because veterans over 65 are also often enrolled in Medicare, which means they often use care outside of the VA. It's harder to capture those records. So we focused on people 50 to 64 who were regular users of VA care, which we defined as at least two or more primary care visits. So they were using it. They're probably not using private sector services, or so we thought. And so that was our population. We excluded those people who, according to VA records, were not up to date in screening. We also used some ICD-9 code algorithms to find people who look like they would be more appropriate to have colonoscopy, either because they've had recent symptoms or because they have a medical or family history of colorectal cancer screening, polyposis, different things like that, where we really wanted to get to an average risk asymptomatic population. So we excluded anybody who we thought might need a colonoscopy. So that phase one study I told you about is the boxes in the black, and those are the people we randomized in that intervention. And then we had approximately 2,300 people or 2,400 people left over who weren't included in that, who became our population for the phase two study. So just to show some quick results of the phase one study, just the single mailing, no phone calls. We didn't call them up front. We didn't call them afterwards to try and get the fit tests. And you can see just from who we started with, the group who got the fit test, 21% ended up having some form of screening within 6 months after that mailing, compared to 6% in the education-only group and 6% in the usual care group. So that was significant. If you just look at the people who returned our little questionnaire and participated in the study, it's even more dramatic. 92% of those people who took our survey and consented to be in the study, 92% went on to have screening within 6 months. Most of that was the fit, and only 2% of the people in the education group went on to have screening in the subsequent 6 months. So, but in looking at these numbers, you can see we wasted a lot of fits. We wasted almost 400 kits that didn't get returned, and so we thought, well, let's see what happens if we talk to people up front, because what we did get back and some comments from people that called in is they're just really confused on this topic. You'd think if someone had a colonoscopy, they'd know if they had a colonoscopy, but all the terms seem to be very confusing to people, and so we thought maybe it'd just be best if we try and call them up front, make sure they're interested in screening, make sure they're not already up to date on screening, and then try some reminders to see if that makes a difference, and then look at the cost implications of that program. So all subjects in phase two received a recruitment letter up front that explained the study, and then during the phone call 1 week later, we obtained consent. We did an eligibility screen, which I'll show in a minute. We asked them about some preferences and barriers for screening and asked if they were interested in having a fit mailed to them. Here's the eligibility screen. It basically is asking those same things we were trying to simulate with the ICD-9 codes, asking them if they've had any recent symptoms, if they've had, if they have a history of inflammatory bowel disease, a personal history of colon cancer or polyps, and family, immediate family members, things like that. If they answered yes to any of these, we had a study team physician call them and really encourage them to get colonoscopy. So we followed up with all these people, but they were excluded from the study. So with the almost 2,400 we started off with, we were able to contact 72% of them by phone. Of those, 42% agreed to participate in the survey and to answer the eligibility questions. Of those, 56% were eligible to participate in the study. Of those, 46% agreed to take the fit, and of those, 85% returned the fit to us. And of those, 11% were positive and 89% were negative. And all the positive people were followed up with the study team physician also. But you can see up front, there were quite a few people, 295 people, who told us they didn't want to participate because they actually had already received screening outside the VA. And of these people down here, that, let me see the pointer, yeah, that refused the fit, some of those people also, after talking with us, after going through the survey and talking with the interviewer, realized that they had, in fact, already had screening and did not want to participate, or we told them they didn't need to if they were already up to date. So just to show that two groups were comparable, because we're going to use that fit mail-only option, that group that just got the single mailing, as the comparison group. And they're similar in age. In that first phase, unfortunately, the VA, there's still not that many women of this age that are over 50 in the VA, so we oversampled most of them in the first phase so that we could test out the intervention on them, and so that left almost none left over for phase two. So that's why there's a gender difference. About half of each group was rural or considered rural or highly rural by the VA definition, and about roughly the same percent were service connected, which means they're injured or got some sort of condition while they were serving in the military. That means they're service connected, and that has implications for how much they pay in co-pays and things like that, and which benefits they're eligible for. Of those who responded to our survey in each group, and it was pretty much the same survey that we did in each one, again, they were similar in almost all regards except for the male-female. There was one place where they differed, and that was we asked them if they had both VA and non-VA primary care providers, and there was a significant difference there, and we think that might have been, you know, that's probably associated with the likelihood of getting screened outside the VA. And people in that the fit mail-only option, if they had already been screened outside the VA or were seeing other VA providers, they probably just threw our survey away and didn't respond, whereas we were talking to these people on the phone. So that's one possible reason. And then their health care coverage in the past 12 months was similar. So you can see a fair amount still did have private insurance in addition to the VA. So now if you compare the two groups in terms of screening within the 6 months following the intervention, now it actually looks like the fit single mailing people who just got the fit in the mail and no phone calls had the 21% versus 13% in the group that we actually called first, which is not what we were expecting, but I have some hypotheses about that that I'll talk about at the end. And if you look at just eligible respondents, again, more people in the mail-only group receive screening within 6 months of receiving that letter, and it's mostly driven by the fit testing. I can't make it go. So, but the one thing that, the kind of but in the story is the fit return rate. If you look at just of the number of fits we sent out versus what we got back, we got 85% back in the fit plus phone call group versus only 14% back in the single mailing group. So we went ahead and did kind of a crude cost-benefit analysis to see how does the cost of the wasted fit compare to somebody's time making the phone calls up front. So we made some assumptions. In the VA, we get a pretty good deal on things. So the fit costs about $5. It costs probably more like $20 in the private sector. But in the private sector, you're probably reimbursed for it by Medicare. I think the Medicare reimbursement rate for fit is around $23. But since this is from the perspective of the VA, we went ahead and plugged in $5, $1.20 for one-way mailing, $2.40 if they returned it for two-way for round trip. We subtracted the length of the survey because in real practice people probably wouldn't be surveying people, so just that introductory phone call to explain the study and ask if they wanted a fit took about 2 minutes. It took about 0.92 reminder calls per person. 55% returned the fit without any reminder. After one phone call we had a return rate of 73%. After two phone calls we had a return rate of 80%, and then it sort of dwindled and we went up to a max of five calls to get to that 85%. We plugged in $15 for the hourly wage of the person making the phone calls. And in doing that, if you just look at the total cost per fit returned, it's $27 in the fit plus phone call group versus almost $45 in the single mailing. And if you just look at any screen, you include colonoscopies, and we do not include the cost of colonoscopies, but if you just say how much did our program cost per number of people screened, it was $14 in the FIT plus phone call group versus $31 in the single mailing. And this is just a chart showing that basically unless you're paying a physician to make those phone calls and getting a really inexpensive FIT test, that's the only scenario where the FIT mail only option has the lower cost per FIT. Everybody else, in any other scenario where you're paying somebody less than $25 an hour to make those phone calls, the FIT plus the phone call had the lower cost per FIT. So our limitations, we do not have access to non-VA data, so we don't have their total healthcare experience necessarily, and people had trouble with self-reporting their screening histories. So in conclusion, we found that with the FIT mail only, you get a higher screening rate. We think that's possible. It may be possible that just having the opportunity to see that FIT and hold it and realize that it's maybe not so bad is persuasive enough to get people to do it. Whereas some people we just couldn't even get a hold of on the phone, or they just didn't want to talk to us about it. A lot of veterans have those phones that have limited minutes. The VA issues phones, and so they didn't want to use up their minutes talking to us and things like that. And people in phase one may have been confused about their screening history and took one just in case. So we might have overscreened some people in the FIT mail-only option. FIT plus phone call, it had a much higher FIT return rate and is going to be the less expensive option per FIT if, as long as you're not paying somebody more than $25 an hour. And people in our study reported concerns that they didn't have colonoscopy because they were afraid it was too painful. They had preferences for at-home tests, but unfortunately almost half reported that an at-home test or an FOBT or FIT had not been offered to them. So bottom line is either program, either way, people overdue for colorectal cancer screening are willing to take the FIT in some numbers, and either approach really transcends distance barriers in improving screening rates. Those positive FIT results may motivate people to get follow-up colonoscopies, which they may have otherwise avoided. It might be seeing that they had a positive FIT may persuade them to go ahead and get the colonoscopy, which they otherwise might not have had. And we identified almost 300 overdue and potentially high-risk people and made them aware that they needed to seek diagnostic or surveillance services with colonoscopy.